How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
What up? Happy Monday on this Jury Monday. This is Old School Jay Foreman, DP Austin Norman. We're coming at you live from 1040 O Street. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. It's 4 weeks in a row. We either gotta, you know, change our outfits or something, or better yet, Huskers need to play better football. Look. It's probably been combed over 80 million times, that not only on our network and our station, but everywhere else. Ultimately, you went out to sunny California, and the performance was probably, you know, more like today, you know, just kind of rainy, drizzly day, you know, some light rain, some real heavy, just not very good. There were some bright spots and some that, you know, some things they were doing well. You could tell it was a little bit different rhythm offensively, but still, you know, ultimately it just met, you know, points on the board is what matters the most. And then defensively, look, anytime you score a touchdown and have a few other big stops on defense, and then obviously you count the blocked field goal as far as defense, you expect to win. But ultimately, I think as Coach Rule said today, the second and third level did not perform well. It felt like second level, John Bullock played well. After that, everything else is probably meh. And then third level was not very good at all. Look, at this point, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. But ultimately, you know, if you are not, there's three big E's that go into football. Effort, execution, and then obviously that leads to better efficiency. Number one is controllable by one person only, and that's you. That is a choice, no matter what age you are, probably after 10. You hear a lot of it, parents, oh, they're only 10. Oh, they're only 11. Well, sooner or later, that's got to be excuse, or not excuse. Now, I will tell you this. As recruiting dynamics, kids have changed, et cetera, effort, intent, and work and hard work, you know, working hard is a skill that can either be forced and or taught to some degree. Very minimal degree. I see you over there thinking, Austin. Very minimal degree. But it is a skill that you have to coach now. And you shouldn't have to, but, you know, at some point in time, you have to. And it's very minimal percentage that goes into the whole percentage. It's 95, 96% owner-operator.
But you still got to try. Number one, it's kind of ridiculous you have to coach it. But number two, maybe it's that 4 or 5% that makes the 1 or 2% difference that shows up on Saturdays.
Yeah, Saturdays is 100% controllable on your own. That you decide that when you wake up in the morning. You decide that long before the game's kicked off. What I mean by you can do it, you can. There's different buttons you can push, you know, and all that stuff to understand, get them to see the light, you know, and there's different ways to do it. And it's a very small case, so that means the very small percentage. Majority of kids, you don't have to do that, but the effort, intent, and hard work is something that will bite you in the butt. And how competitive are you? Are you out there just playing? Are you just out there just going through the plays and all that? You know, some of it, you could say it's coaching. Ultimately, you're out there, man. You're out there playing, man. You're getting paid to play. You know, and so for it to be a senior-led group, the third level, to probably have that type of performance is probably not a good – probably shouldn't have slept too well for the last 2 or 3 days.
Bad day to have a bad day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, everything – I mean – come in at what, 9 point?
8 or 9.
Eight or nine, dog. Right, dogs.
Yeah. Lost by eight. Played expectation.
Yeah. But you never expect to things like that to be questionable.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a veteran group like that with those guys. And Matt Rule said as much today.
Yeah.
I expect my cover two safety to play cover two. Expect my corner three corner to play cover three. Simple as that.
Yeah. You always just wonder what goes, you just wonder what goes through some guys' minds when they get out there and play. I have some ideas. I just would like to understand. I just don't get it. I've never associated myself with guys like that. Just couldn't do it. I don't think there's an excuse for it. It's not. There's not an excuse for it. It's a choice. There is certain things that is a choice.
There are programs all over the country that figure out how to get people to either choose people who will make that choice, or get people who will lead people to that choice. But to say that we can't have expectation or want for a program that it's fair to say Husker fans are asked to support in full, right? Like, be loyal, yeah. be loud.
Well, they make the choice.
Be loyal, be loud.
The choice.
That there are programs, Tulane comes to mind, as a program that has figured out a way to get people to compete at the highest level, or choosing people, being able to identify people who will compete at the highest level. They're choosing a Jay Foreman instead of the other guy, right? Like, somebody had to identify you. And for all the breadcrumbs that led up to them finding Jay Foreman, somebody still had to find him and work with him. And to say that in this space, we have found the true matrix for not being able to figure out, like, there's an answer to all the questions, right, Jay? Like, there's an answer to how you win football games.
Everybody has answers. No, but the solution is in that locker room. And the effort thing, obviously, there's one player put on display, and that's why what happens when you play that position. I mean, that's what you sign up for. That's why Deion got paid the big bucks. That's why Charles Woodson is a Hall of Famer. That's why my man Dick Knight, Train Lane, rest in peace, is a, you know, Lester. That's what you sign up for. So I don't think it's an overwhelming deal. Now I think it's a little bit different because of the aura creation of the easy thing that's always been is to blame the coaches. So you're giving, so everybody's sitting up here, like, we've created this soft landing to blame a third party for a one party decision. Like, and this can go back even when nice Mike Riley was here. Like, you can't blame Mike Riley. Like, you can say he lost the locker room and all that, and that might have to be because he has no vision, right? Because he's up there just giving you the alphabet soup, right? Okay, that's fine. All right. But when you step on that field, no matter what you have going on, that's your sanctuary. That's your choice. That's your choice. Matter of fact, it's not even a choice, because if you even care remotely about the people that are in your locker room, it's not even a choice. It's not even a second thought. So
who sets up?
Who's in the locker? Who is you? I mean, everybody's looking for somebody else to do something.
No, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about everybody.
Right.
I'm talking about everybody.
When we get on the bus, we're all rolling. Like, it's your choice. Like, if you get off the bus and you decide, like, why does somebody else got to implore you to do something?
That's human nature. That somebody has to employ you. That your motivation, ambition. There's a huge difference between dudes who never got a chance to get on the bus and dudes who are on the bus.
Yeah, but they're on the bus.
Who chose them to be on the bus?
Well, they were here already before.
Who chose them to be here?
I don't know what the standard is.
But
at some point in time, that has to stop, all of it, whether it's us talking about it, dudes early in the morning, when you get on a bus to go play a game. Yes, you can hear the rah-rah stuff that lasts for about 10 minutes. 10 minutes, you might be hyped up because of what somebody said in the locker room. But when I'm looking across and I see Alan Faneca, ain't nobody saving me.
Let me ask.
Nobody's going to save me.
All of that is, and I don't disagree with that.
Right.
But here's my question. And this is from the outside looking in.
Right.
Simply, you know what? I'm a mission kind of person. Like, give me the mission. If the mission is to win football games in the Big Ten Conference, right? I mean, I think that's a pretty good mission.
Right.
Right, to win games in the Big Ten Conference. That Nebraska fans, as people who support this, want to know what the problem is. And if the problem is, in fact, and I'm not saying it's not.
Right.
If the problem is the players haven't bought in or the players are making choices that are less than the standard, then how do you fix it? How do you change it? And if you tell me that you cannot simply fix it or change it, right? Either coaching or a lot. Hold on, let me get to it.
I don't believe in that. I'm not going to believe it. You're getting paid. I don't care about a choice or a lot. That stuff that they're doing, I know for a fact is not being coached.
Okay, so let's go through. So explain it to me.
I know for a fact. We've been talking about this since 2001. I've seen a dude field a ball on a two-yard line, and everybody's like, it's coached or allowed. I know for a fact it's not coached. I know it's not allowed. That's a personal choice. So when they're out there, you can't control another
tell
human.
Tell me how you know that is true.
Well, first of all, the special team coach is an employee here. Let's get out here. Listen here. You can go to Seacrest right now.
Right.
You can go to East High School, Southeast, whatever high school you want. You can go to Timbuktu. Yep. I guarantee you, when you are returning a punt, majority of the time, they put your heels on eight yard line. Don't field it after that.
Yep.
Now,
we've seen it, right? We've seen it.
And the one in this game really wasn't so egregious because he fielded at the five. The height of that punt, most likely it probably would have got down. So that's really not a big deal.
Yeah.
What's more important is that I don't think it's not a buy-in thing.
Okay.
See, there's a difference what people don't understand. There's a difference between playing football and competing. Nobody knows the difference unless you've done it before. When you are a competitor, you come to play. You don't worry about the circumstances. You don't worry what time the game is, where it's played, what the condition is, or who the hell is playing with you. You're here to play, dude. Like, you're playing football. Hmm? Like, you're not – like, why does somebody got to sit here and what, rub your back and tell you how good you are for you to go out there and play good? Like, dude, that dude over there is trying to embarrass you.
Right.
Because what it comes down to, the players have to do one thing and one thing only. Number one, stop letting people push you around.
Facts.
That's number one. Number two, if you don't think UCLA got on their little internet phones and talked to the dudes across the street at USC and felt like they could punk you, I can tell you, look at number six. He didn't even, first of all, here's how I know it's a fact. Nobody even said to him anything to him on the sideline. Not one coach reprimanded him, right? Not one player got mad at him. As a matter of fact, the player encouraged him to do it. So this isn't a time to say, okay, now we got to go get some personal fouls. No, at some point in time, you have to line up and say enough is enough. Everybody. And if somebody's not participating in how we are moving, then you're going to have to deal with him as you got to deal with him. I won't name names. We were playing like booty down in Missouri. Somebody got punched in the face on the sideline. Now, I'm not saying that's what United need to do, but that's what happened. You can't do that anymore. First of all, there's no cameras. Nobody knew about that. I said it. But at the end of the day, you have to look like, if you're invested in something, if I'm invested in something, you're invested in something. This isn't about Randy Moss or Dallas Clark catching the Passover. This is not what this is about. This is about, are we doing with the things that we've been coached, told, and implored to do? And we know what we can do. That's where the frustrating part, they know they can play better.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
There is a fix to all of it. What's the fix?
I mean, they just got to go do it. I mean, it's got to be I wouldn't say it come to Jesus. It's got to just come to like a feeling that comes in there. Like, we got to go do it. What everybody's fix is this: fire coaches, fire the players, start over. Then we're back here and then complain some more. Well,
what's the fix?
But the players have to fix it, though.
Because if those things aren't true.
You got dudes up here talking about switching from a 3-3-5 to 4-3. Have you not watched the game? They play 4-4 man front, man. They play a 4-man front. They play cover 3. They play cover 1. They play cover 4. They run all the plays majority or in theory that everybody else runs. We got to execute the plays. If they run counter and I'm a linebacker, I can't run into a defensive lineman and one guy, first of all, I got to even block. I just block myself, right? Like, if they throw a now route, a smoke route, whatever you want to call it, they got all these stupid names for it. They get the ball and throw it to them. Okay, whatever you want to call it, pitch and catch. Okay, sideline is the other defender. That counts as 12. Push him out of, usher him out of bounds, or what we call street sweep him. Get the leg, sweep the leg. Those are things that we have to, dudes have to be the dudes. It's not like everybody's looking for it's always funny. Like, I remember I was coaching a game, like, oh man, so we ran like man offense versus zone or something like that. Dude, we blew like 8 layups and missed 10 free throws and we lost by 1. So was it the offense or was it just that we just didn't make free throws? Right. I mean, you got to really get back into just getting back to the simple things. And, fortunately and unfortunately for them, they got 2 games left.
So this is the proper way to put it into it. If they're the fighting Foremans and this is your group to fix, because you're not going to accept it as it is. Bothers you too much for you to accept it.
I think you cannot panic, though. This is not that, and that's where Matt Rhule has done a good job. You can't panic because just throwing your hands up and just fire everybody, you're going
to. I'm not saying fire anybody.
The fix has got to be. Yeah, like me as a coach, I'm not going to stand for it. And then you can coach as hard as you can. I can stay up 5 hours more a week, every hour a day, and find little nuances or whatever to create a game plan, a practice plan, a recovery plan. They already got great weight coaches and nutritionists and all that stuff. That's what a coach can do. That's all he can do. I don't understand this whole miss thing that you think as a coach that you can control another player's action. That never happens. What coaches are meant to do, give me a vision and you go. It's no different when I talk about the guys and gals that are valedictorians. They get the syllabus. They get the same one as Jay Foreman. You want to know why I ain't? Because I hated school. I hate school. I will always hate school. I'll tell everybody, I hated school. It was a necessary means that I had to do to get some sort of education, some sort of guidance. But I'm going to tell you what, my friend Jamal, he loves school. My friend Armand, he loves school. He got 3 masters. There's no way in the world I could do that. I look at him crazy. Matter of fact, he was just out of Indiana. I still look at him. I said, man, and Nick was there. I said, dude, you got 3 masters and you still got used to it. Now he's a big time where he's at now. He's still at the same Eaton Corporation that he did an internship and just worked his way all the way up. But he got 3 masters. Now, I took advantage of they paid for him to do it. But if they paid for me to do it, I ain't going back to school.
Would we ask everybody you played football with to be a doctor, to be a surgeon? No. Everybody has a role and a talent, and somebody has to identify that. Put it in play, have the vision for it.
Yeah.
Look, nobody, those 105 aren't going to roll out there. The 75 aren't going to roll out there and just say, screw it, we're going to play. There has to be a plan.
The only thing that I would do, I would crank this intensity up to a level they've never seen before. That's what I would do. That's the first thing I would do.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would do. Now, it's not, now I'm going to tell you, it's not across the board, right? Because you can't coach everybody the same. But I can tell you, not only would I be wound up tight, ain't nothing fun right now, right? We 5-5. We
lost 4 games in a row.
We're 2 games probably below where we may be expected to be. And our backs are against the wall. We got 2 chances. Like, It's like we're in a boxing match, you know, and we should have knocked out dude in the eighth round, and here we are going to the final 12. And they're in your trainer telling you, boy, you better turn it up. We got to go for a knockout, or we down on points, or we're tied in points, so we got to really, you know, be decisive. You know, I think the hard part is when you're caught up in this tidal wave, and it's no different if you're winning four games in a row and you're losing four games in a row. It's just like in basketball. The way you got up by 20 or the way you got down by 20 is the same way you could possibly get up by 20. So you got to remedy what you haven't been doing well. What we haven't been doing well is winning situational football that's not the known situational football. All right? Third down and 10. 6 minutes and 40-some seconds left. All right, we run essentially what I call from way back in the archaic days is essentially a fire zone blitz. Essentially, you blitz from one side and you have some linebackers or something that drop out in coverage. So you can dictate the pace of the play, right? So you run a fire, part of a fire zone. So a fire zone is this. So essentially, here's the difference between a zero blitz and a fire zone just blanket terms. One, it's man-to-man, no safety coverage. Zero blitz, zero help. That's self-explanatory. Fire zone, what we used to call fire zone or a zone blitz, is you're blitzing and you're playing some sort of zone off of that, right? So you have to get to a different ways. You might play what's essentially cover three. You might be ideally, depending on the formation, play cover four. We have essentially what I call a fire zone or a zone blitz on, or just a zone coverage. We have got to get that below 5 yards. It's got to be fourth and five. 6 minutes plus, I can almost guarantee, or you like to dictate, there's not a lot of plays, even with a great play caller with Lincoln Riley, fourth and five, that he can dial up and feels very comfortable with a 1-point lead at home, stressed in his backyard as far as like the pressure he's under that he can play. I like our chance to get that ball back, right? Well, they come on fourth and one, run speed option, hit the corner for what, 36 yards. So the cause and effect, I'm huge in the cause and effect. That's a game-changing play. We got to get better at those plays. Now, of course, we got to get ready. The easy ones are the easy ones, right? Those are the plays that are huge. Everybody, one, also, you know, Dylan's got to get that first down and around the 50. For any other purposes that get another first down, we can pin them back. You know what I'm saying? It's easier for them to field a punt, fair catch a punt, think he might have caught it at 16, got 6 or 7 yards. He's not necessarily backed up by then. But if we get it, and then if we punted the ball really well, we got a pretty decent punter, he sky punts it or kicks it like coffin corner, now they're backed up. Now you can kind of really, really dictate and really assume what they're going to run. Those are the plays that we need to get better at, because everybody's going to focus on the big plays. But those small plays that I'm just talking about or referencing, those are the game-changing plays, because for us, with an offense that's struggling, right, you need possessions. It's almost like the Patriots when they won the first Super Bowl. You go back and study the Patriots when they won their first Super Bowl, they were excellent, maybe the best of all time in those off-brand, off situations of situational football, because they just kept inching, 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 field goal, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. Next thing you know, you look up like, man, we played these guys pretty good. We lose 24-10. So we're not doing that very well.
They're through all of the truth of it, for me, being outside of the game and just watching it process and watching this team over 5 years. 5 years. To be consistently hiccuping in the same space in the same time.
Right.
There has to be, we're dealing with the pimple and not the reason why.
Not the skin.
Issue. Right. What is the real issue? There's an issue. And when I walk into programs around this country, what I'm asked to do is identify blind spots and help people simplify what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. That sometimes is player. Right.
Yeah. But this is a boil over.
Yeah. It's a boil. It's not a pimple. It's a boil. You're right.
Hold on. This predates 20 some years ago. You know what I'm saying? This predates.
But that's why I asked.
And it's not apples to apples, but there's a lot of it that goes into it, and the change of it is, you know, I mean,
I know we have to go to break, but this is why I in order to get to the real core of how the thing has to happen, I fully am aware I have to poke Jay Foreman to change some of the conversation that's been had, because some of the conversation is just pablum. It's just repeat. It's I heard it said, so now I'm going to repeat it. And that's how this program got here.
Yeah. I mean,
this program got here.
They got it coming. It's just not coming as fast as people want. They're a lot farther along than it looks to the naked eye. They should be farther along than it looks to the naked eye. They're not as far. I know everybody's thinking like you're saying it. They're a lot far. It's coming. It's just, you know, we'll talk about at the break where we run into a problem as like a Nebraska football society versus reality, and where it's going. Because it's going in the right direction. It's just not. Yeah, you bought a car and you want to be in fifth gear, and that bad boy is like that clutch is sticking right now.
I think BJ in Wichita hits my nail on the head. He says, "I'm sorry, Jay, but you don't pay a staff this type of money because they're going to be blind because you get that again." Yeah. I'm not asking you to defend it or not defend it. Right. I'm simply putting it in play that if you've been in the program for 20 years, around the program for 20 years.
I have not been around the program for 20 years.
You've been a Husker since 1994, 1993.
Right.
Right?
But there was a time when another coach was here. We weren't allowed, though. So I wasn't around the program for
is what I want to get to. Again, different conversation than some of the other stuff that's been said because I've been listening, not talking. I want to be clear.
I mean, but Bill Callahan isn't at fault for that. What Bill Callahan did doesn't have a direct reflection on this season here.
What does?
It's just they ain't playing good.
That, you need that, guys, that you need, this they, particular they group
is just not playing up just to not, playing up to expectations. They're just not. It's no different than Florida State probably has the same problem that you can't say that, like, you know, everybody wants to talk about how much they're getting paid. Yeah, they're highly compensated. You know how much they were getting paid last year when you was all on board, and now it's the problem? Well, like, that's you're paying fair market value. Well, now, like, whether that's a problem to you or not, that's I have nothing to do with it.
You bought a Lamborghini that got stuck in fifth gear, bro. You just said
but
it.
But if you're making like blanket statements at this point, you ain't never gonna be satisfied. You ain't never going to be satisfied. If you're worried about what somebody's made, I don't know why that. I mean, I do understand it. So you expect certain results based on what somebody else is doing, but not every situation is the same. I will tell you this: Tom Allen had better recruits than probably his. And this is not making an excuse for anybody. Mm. He had better recruits than what was led on to when he got there.
Yeah,
the situation is a lot different because the expectations are so much lower.
Yeah.
So sure, I mean, everybody has a gripe to pick. I get it, man.
I don't have a gripe. I'm trying to understand. I don't know, so I'm asking. That's just me.
Yeah, we'll go to break. We'll talk about it. We'll see what happens and or what we think of. I mean, it just hey man, it's tough, man. It's tough sledding for him, boy. You know, look, this is a Minnesota winter right now, man. You got to push through it and you know, deal with it. And it's about January, February up there. And you know that March, April coming. You just got to stick to it. So anyways, Jay Foreman, DP, Austin, we'll be right back.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday." Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.